NPR.
Waylon, do you ever fall into the time suck of looking at Zillow real estate maps and sales that show these home listings that look too good to be true, like surprisingly cheap with these really spectacular photos?
Well, hello, Kirk Sigler, NPR's Weston correspondent. And yes, I've been known to dabble in a little Zillow stalking here and there.
Well, good. So take a look at this one that I just pulled up for you.
Okay, so we're in Arizona. We've got a 7-bedroom, 4-bath. There is this very elaborate pool with a waterfall, and they've got some pool noodles laid out in the staging photo.
Exactly. You don't even really see the house itself.
Yeah, I'm starting to wonder what the real story is here. Like, is there a catch?
So this house is in a suburb of Phoenix called Buckeye. I went out there to report on how that city, which, by the way, boasts that it's one of the fastest growing cities in the country, can square all this growth with the fact that Arizona's water supplies are shrinking fast.
This is The Indicator from Planet Money. I'm Waylon Wong.
And I'm Kirk Sigler. Today on the show, Phoenix is just one example of fast-growing cities in the Southwest that keep expanding in a desert with little water, places that rely on a Colorado River that's running dry. Is a reckoning overdue and finally here? That's coming up after the break.
Support for NPR and the following message come from Fisher Investments. SVP Judy Abrams shares how their fiduciary duty comes to life while helping clients plan for retirement.
As a fiduciary, we must make decisions in our clients' best interest. So we work with them in consultation to be on a glide path so when they want the option to retire, that portfolio is still going to keep working for them at this stage of life.
Learn more at fisherinvestments.com. Investing in securities involves the risk of loss. This message comes from NPR sponsor Arctic Wolf. Their researchers have released the Arctic Wolf Lab's 2024 threat report. Why will 2024 be a volatile year for cybersecurity? Learn more and get your copy now at arcticwolf.com/NPR. This message comes from NPR sponsor Mint Mobile. This spring, Mint Mobile has unlimited talk, text, and data plans for $15 a month when you purchase a 3-month plan. Go to mintmobile.com/indicator. Additional taxes, fees, and restrictions apply.
Kirk, I know you've been doing a lot of reporting in the Valley of the Sun, asking tough questions about how sustainable the growth is there.
Yeah, I have. So what's striking is when you drive down I-10, leaving downtown Phoenix and into what's known as the West Valley, it feels like business as usual. I mean, there are all these signs advertising new developments, you know, join this VIP list for first views and planned master communities with these curious names like Teravalis and Prasada.
Do you ever feel like society is just running out of proper names for streets and towns and housing developments?
Right. They sort of sound like flavors of ice cream. So I'm driving down the freeway and you also see these big water gulping new data centers being built. And I can't help but notice, like, when there's a drought in California or even Las Vegas, I mean, you'd see signs warning people to conserve or limit watering, and you just don't. Around Phoenix, I mean, you don't see that. In fact, you'd hardly even know the Southwest is as dry as it's been in 1,200 years.
I cannot even get my head around that number, 1,200 years.
Right, and yet construction seems to be going on at a feverish pace still. At Buckeye City Hall, there's a bright red mural that welcomes you to Arizona's biggest opportunity. This is where I met the town's friendly mayor, Eric Orsborn.
In 2000, we're 6,500 in population, and we are north of 110,000 in population today.
That is a jump of more than 100,000 people in just 2 decades.
Yeah, and Eric's been part of that growth. You know, he owns a construction company. He's a big booster for Buckeye. The city's master plan has room for some 300,000 more residents in the coming decades, with growth to the south, the west, and north.
So for perspective, city of Phoenix is about 518 square miles. So we have this massive footprint to grow into.
Okay, so he's basically talking about another whole Phoenix being built out there. Phoenix 2.0.
That's how I read it. You know, but Eric says they're working aggressively to line up future water supplies. They're likely going to buy up water held by farmers, in some cases, you know, 60, 80 miles away, and import that water back in. Farmers are the biggest user of water, and many have held first priority to use that water until relatively recently, when the West's cities started getting bigger and bigger, and those cities with powerful interests started coming for that water and making offers some of the farmers couldn't refuse. You know, Eric told me they're also getting more aggressive too with conserving water. That's important because Buckeye needs to be ready.
I think a lot of people want to move here. Part of it is the regulation, the tax, how we do business in Arizona. Part of it is the open opportunity that's here.
But there's been a small damper in all that opportunity talk lately. Well, actually, two. First, Arizona Governor Katie Hobbs released a state report she says was hidden by her predecessor. But what this new report is saying is that they won't issue any more new certificates unless a developer goes way outside of Greater Phoenix and its groundwater basin to get water.
Then earlier this month, the state released a second report showing that all the groundwater in all of Metro Phoenix, not just the Buckeye area, is spoken for.
Now, that doesn't mean everything is going to grind to a halt. Arizona water law is super complicated. But how it works is if you're a developer, you have to prove to the state that you have a 100-year water supply lined up before you build. Now, the state looks at that, and if they approve it, they give you a certificate. But what this new report is saying is they won't issue any more new certificates unless a developer goes way outside of Phoenix to get the water.
But this does not include stuff that's already in the pipeline and approved. And the governor's office estimates that number to be about 80,000 development projects that are already approved and will still likely be built.
Now, in Buckeye, some folks are saying the state is exaggerating the crisis. They say they always knew they'd have to go outside of the Phoenix Basin to find water for their new developments. Here's what Eric told me recently.
Some of this stuff takes a very long time to develop, and I don't think we want to shut off all of the growth trying to figure out the solution for all of the growth. We can do this in an incremental approach.
Now, Eric might sound pretty certain about lining up all of this new water, but there's definitely a lot of unanswered questions about how they can pull this off when we know that the West continues to be in a huge water deficit.
Exactly. I mean, we had a good winter out here. Some of the reservoirs are more full than they've been in years. But, you know, down the road, there's a huge deficit and it's not getting any easier. But like I said earlier, I think the big thing here may be that cities like Buckeye really only consume a fraction of all the available water in the West. So that might be why they're saying this, because the biggest user is still industrial farming, which provides most of the food we eat in the U.S., the fresh produce anyway. It accounts for 70 to 80% of water usage across the Southwest.
So newer suburbs like Buckeye figure they can go out and buy water from agriculture as long as they go outside the Phoenix Basin where supplies are tapped out.
Right. And to be fair, you know, cities in metro areas like Phoenix have gotten really good at using a lot less water, even as their populations exploded. So that might be why there's a little bit of optimism coming from Eric. You know, Buckeye and others are pushing to increase the size of a nearby dam as well. So after big winters like this, you know, maybe they could store more water. And then there's a bigger, maybe more pie in the sky proposal, but they're even studying whether you could build a desalination project on the shore of the Sea of Cortez and pipe water through Mexico to Phoenix. But it does just feel like right now some people are saying nothing should be off the table. And you know, people are watching the news. They know that there's a crisis on the Colorado River.
And to zoom out here, all this is going on as Arizona, California, and Nevada just signed a landmark deal to reduce their usage of the Colorado River. And of course, the river feeds four other states and Mexico. So this is a temporary solution to a long-term crisis.
And I think that's the context for what is happening in Phoenix. But I'm saying we just don't have enough groundwater to turn to as we're losing less and less of the river water. Yet, what's really amazing to me is that still in some of the unincorporated areas of Maricopa County, including Phoenix, you know, people are still building when it's not clear if there's even going to be water. At the very northern edge of the Phoenix sprawl, I met a man named John Hornerer. If I drove much farther here, I thought I was going to hit Utah.
Yeah, you're about in Flagstaff right up there. Yeah.
He owns a water hauling company in Rio Verde Foothills. It's an unincorporated community. Most people live off of hauled water from nearby Scottsdale until that city recently mostly cut them off, citing its shrinking Colorado River deliveries.
You know what? When Scottsdale cut us off, that's a reality check.
Yeah, so when I met with John, he looked stressed and tired.
In my personal opinion, we're living way outside of our means. Right now, this drought, we have to get a handle on the true gravity of this drought. And we have to make some serious adjustments. You know, to build when you don't have water just doesn't make sense.
Building when you don't have water just doesn't make sense. This is like a little bit of the other side of that optimism we were hearing earlier.
Right. And I think more and more people are going to start asking that question. I mean, there's probably a reckoning coming for sure, at least in greater Phoenix, if not the whole West, frankly. It's just not that visible just yet.
This episode was produced by Julia Ritchie with engineering by Catherine Silva. It was fact-checked by Sierra Juarez. VL Laser's senior producer, Kate Kennan, edits the show, and The Indicator is a production of NPR.
This message comes from NPR sponsor Mint Mobile. From the gas pump to the grocery store, inflation is everywhere. So Mint Mobile is offering premium wireless starting at just $15 a month. To get your new phone plan for just $15, go to mintmobile.com/switch.
This message comes from NPR sponsor, Lisa. Good sleep should come naturally, and with the new Natural Hybrid mattress, it can. A collaboration between Lisa and West Elm, the Natural Hybrid is expertly crafted from natural latex, natural wool, and certified safe foams to elevate your sleep sanctuary and support a greener tomorrow. Plus, every purchase helps fuel Lisa's work with shelters and those in need. Visit Lisa.com to learn more. That's LEESA.com.
Is it possible to engineer our way out of the climate crisis? Some entrepreneurs want to shoot particles into the stratosphere to combat global warming. Experts say regulations on this technology aren't keeping up. The world of solar geoengineering on the latest episode of The Sunday Story from NPR's Up First podcast.